You're a wizard, Harry. Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Half-Blood Prince with...
Sarah Tompkins.
Majaya Shrestha.
And I'm Michael DeMauro. This week, we kick off Season 6 by discussing Chapter 1, The Other Minister. We talk about our preconceptions of Book 6 and the battle for the 6th Quidditch Cup. Begins. Hey, everybody. We're back. It's season 6. Holy shit.
Oh, my goodness. I'm clutching my pearls.
Man, we're going to do Quidditch again. And everyone's really cool and not freaking out.
And haven't been just bonkers with our own grief and fear all day.
My heart has not been racing the whole day, and we have not been talking shit for the last, 2 hours on our Google Hangouts. We have not at all.
Because Bajaya is actually forfeiting, so...
I am not forfeiting!
Oh, no. She's not allowed to forfeit. She needs to...
We need healthy
competition. She needs to take her lumps. When she loses. Hey, everyone, thank you for making this 6th season happen. We couldn't do it without your support on the old Kickstarter. So thank you.
And really, it's funny because we always are so keyed up for this and so terrified. But it is really, really fun. I think that's part of it. It's just we're fiercely competitive. I'm not a competitive person, but this I'm competitive
about. Yes, that's what I've been saying. I was like, I'm not competitive, but... Fuck.
When I'm not competing, I'm not competitive.
I feel like the donors are like, they've given me their handkerchief, and I'm the knight who has to joust.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, hey.
I'm the knight who has to joust, and they are my lady. So that's why I feel like I need to win.
That's really sexist of you, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say I was a man.
I mean, still. You are also...
Mm-hmm. I'm a lady knight. Except a handkerchief.
She also told me earlier that I was the wrong kind of Asian for me to be smart, so she's racist and sexist tonight. So.
Wow. Gloves are off. Holy
shit. Man.
That's a bold statement, sir.
I've literally been texting them all week saying, why did we ever think about doing Quidditch? Why is this even a thing that we do? Because this is terrifying and terrible. But this is something
it's
that we
fun.
Do. But also, thank you to...
It's fun for me.
Thank you to Megan, my best friend.
Yeah, thank you.
Whom I have been friends with for almost a decade now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Bajaya's never lost while she's...
she's been the quiz mistress. I was just going to point this out. Bajaya, it seems like it's a conflict of interest that you are saying this. I would bury that if I were you.
Actually, I was texting her earlier saying, I am not ready for this. She was like, I need to be neutral, so I'm not going to say either way. I was like, what the fuck? Just say yes or no. How hard are the questions? She was like, I have to be neutral.
You'll never know.
Thank you for not letting Bajaya cheat.
You're welcome.
Also, if you had said, how hard are the questions, and she said yes, what would that have meant to you?
How hard are the questions? Yes, the questions are very hard, because I feel like, although I think that her questions are better than when we used to do questions for us, because ours yes. would be like, what page number was it when Harry kissed Ginny?
And remember,
like how many steps did Harry have to go up to get to the divination room?
Remember when I asked you guys about the sewage system in Hogwarts when it was installed?
No,
what is wrong with you?
That was a terrible question.
We were Well, because we all knew if the person, if you came with the easy questions, the other two were going to get a point. Yeah. So you had to come with
that's
hard
questions. That's impossible. Like,
terrifying bad questions.
I won the first one. I think that's what we were going for, though, because we were like actively trying to beat each other. So you are a godsend.
Well, listen, you need to have that a neutral third party.
That's why you're my best friend, Megan.
That's
Stop
why you're my best
cheat,
friend.
Vagia. Stop that. Quit it.
I know.
Bad. Damn it. Why is it not working?
Megan, did you and I share a bed last year? Was it you and I who shared a bed?
Suck
I actually
it,
don't.
Vagia.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
No, you and
Nika.
I slept together. Sarah and Nika slept together.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Maybe you're right. I don't remember.
Wow.
I feel like we shared a bed one year,
Perhaps.
One night.
Are you talking about, is this at GeeklyCon? Are you talking about GeeklyCon?
Yeah.
Yes, we're talking about GeeklyCon.
Yeah, right. Meg, don't worry. I'll get you that free ticket to GeeklyCon. That should be all taken care of.
Guys, she's on this. Please keep buttering me up. I am loving it.
She's like, okay, where else can we go with this? Can
free
I get
things,
some free food?
So we should talk about rules real quick for those who are just tuning in for the first time.
or those who never remember the rules.
Which is Sarah.
Sarah. So
I literally was thinking about this today. I was like, oh no, I can't buzz in.
What are the rules?
Okay. So if you get the whole question right, you get 1 point. If you get half, it's up to Megan, which I don't agree with sometimes when she gives out half a point. But if you get like part of the question right, answer right, you get half a point. It's up to her discretion. You can't beep in until the whole question is read.
That's very important.
Sarah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very important. Some of them are
And
long.
we each have our distinct.
Yep. Is it again like two people?
Yes. So so two people are gonna go against each other and the loser goes against the next person in
the next question.
Yeah.
Right. And then what is it? Doesn't the other person, if the first person gets it wrong, the second person gets to
chime in, yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And if there's a tie
for the whole point.
Right.
And not half a point, like Sarah thinks it is.
Right.
Sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, if you get it all the way right, then you get a full point.
I get very confused about that. It's
fair.
Because you're going second, so you're like, you already got like,
it's like Jeopardy.
They took one thing away.
It's like Jeopardy.
You know?
Well, it's like Jeopardy.
I know, I'm just...
And the tricky part is if they answer half the question, that's when I feel like it's cheating
to give one person the full point
and not give credit to the other person. So.
Right. Or if it's a really 50-50 question and the one person gets it wrong, then you're like,
no, that happens. That happens in Jeopardy all the time where they're like, oh no, summer night, and they're like, no, it's wrong, and then the next person's like, summer nights,
and you're like, damn,
yeah, she did the whole point.
Right?
Is there music?
That's my husband, everyone.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Nicholas.
You're on
Hi,
a Nick. Twitch stream.
Hello.
Do you guys hear music?
Yeah, I hear like
huge fan
chiming.
Chiming.
He's not. He doesn't listen.
Yes, he does.
It might be music from... Does he? Oh, I didn't know. All right.
He just doesn't tell you.
Oh, well.
I'm just saying, some of us are not Jeopardy nerds, okay?
Anyway, it's all very clear.
Yes.
I'm sure we won't have
any
problems.
Very clear.
Shouldn't
Thank
have.
You.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Michael, do you want to do your signature beeping in?
Oh, ding, 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 ding. That's my ring.
Okay, Sarah. Michael's going with ding, ding, ding. Sarah.
Mine is
whatever comes out of my mouth.
The Jaya's is usually like, yeah, a scream or a guffaw of some type.
A scream.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's whatever comes out. I would like it to be woof, woof, but that's not going to happen. I learned that, like...
It's too hard to do quickly.
First season.
Yeah, it's too hard to do quickly, I think.
And since Vagia's a reigning champion, she'll sit out the first question.
Mm-hmm. God damn it.
That's fun.
Are we going already? So I don't want to...
Uh-huh. The first one is me and Sarah.
I'm, like, so stressed out right now.
Okay.
I love this. I am in the least stressful part.
Are we starting?
Yeah. All right.
This is, are we, do we need to say that this is the Quizzitch?
Oh, yeah. You want to do your own
for
intro thing.
Harry Potter. I don't know, but
no,
I don't think we need to.
Did we talk, did we say that it was for the Half-Blood Prince? Because that's what it's for.
I mean, well, the intro for the episode has already been done. We did that last week.
Okay.
Sorry, recording. Jesus fucking Christ.
Saying, somebody's like.
All right, Half-Blood Prince, question one. Michael and Sarah, are you all ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. What does the Muggle Prime Minister call Cornelius Fudge?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, that was close. Ooh. I think I'm going to have to give it to Sarah. She did a little bit of a early. Okay, Sarah, yes.
Other minister.
Correct.
The other prime minister.
Correct.
Oh, no, I have to go.
Chat room agrees that it was definitely me first.
Did they?
Sure. Well,
McGinnis says it's me. I felt like I heard myself say it before Joe Sarah said it, but there's always a delay.
I feel like I heard myself say it.
Sarah first, so.
That was a toss.
Oh, no, I have to go against Michael now.
Are you ready for this?
Hold on. Okay.
Oh, my God. Liquid courage.
Liquid courage.
All right. Okay, Vijaya and Michael. What animal does Fudge transfigure the Muggle Prime Minister's teacup into?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, wow.
Michael.
It's a gerbil.
Yep. Nice.
I think it's pronounced a gerbil, so he's wrong.
A gerbil.
All right.
That's a tricky one. Well, yeah, nice work.
I was going to say, gerbils commit war crimes. Gerbils do not.
I was like, is anyone to make a World War II joke? Because, please.
Sarah, it's you and me.
I knew it would be Sarah. I'm so proud of you.
So that's our first episode, right? Like that is.
What? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we just do one each.
Oh my God. It's so fast.
So that was great. Sarah got a point. I got a point.
I did not get a point.
I'm
sure
next week, Vijaya will get one.
Don't jinx me.
She's not gonna go this whole season without getting a single point. Don't even worry about it at all. It's gonna be fine.
Well, guys, that's basically what I did last season, so I'm already doing better. Nowhere to go but up.
You got the first question right.
Yeah, even though
Sarah, you're not gonna get any points after this.
Hey.
All right, see you guys next week.
Chapter 1, The Other Minister. We start the book. The book is starting. And it doesn't start with a wizard. It doesn't start with a witch. It starts with a politician.
God damn it.
And, yes.
Is it Dobby?
Wait, Dobby's not a politician.
He could be by now.
In England? Or the UK, I'll never understand how
it's
that all works.
He's technically in England, but it is for the UK.
In England, they have a president, but they don't call him a president. They call him a prime minister.
It's Boris Johnson.
It's like a king, kind of. I don't really get it. But anyway.
But they already have a king, so it's like a step king.
Yeah, it's like a step king. So the step king is having a very bad week. He's just chilling out in his throne room, I guess, and he's just waiting for a call from some foreign dignitary and reading memos, and it's almost midnight, and he's had a terrible week. The Brockdale Bridge collapsed.
Poor old Brockdale.
Killing a bunch of muggles.
Terrible.
Which was weird that he said that. There's two nasty and well-publicized murders. There was a hurricane in the West Country.
Hurricanes hardly happen.
And his junior king, Minister Duke.
His junior step Duke
is acting so peculiar that he has to go spend more time with his family. And on top of all of it, it's July. And there's a chilly mist in the air.
Not like a chilly mist, like a cold one. Not like a tasty one.
It's like a vapor.
A vaporous
black bean chili.
That sounds delicious.
Mist. Everyone's miserable. Everyone's mad. Everyone's like yelling at this guy. And he's just having a bad week. He hears a little cough and he tries to pretend it's not there. But this dirty little oil painting is alive and is like, you know, message for the prime minister. And the minister of magic is here to see you. And it's a little wizard painting. And it's warning him that Cornelius Fudge is coming to see him, which the PM does not like that because Fudge only brings bad news. And it's all wizard-related bad news.
He comes in and he's like, the lost finale was terrible. And then he just, like, leaps.
Also, Game of Thrones.
So the first time Fudge, he goes on this little reminiscence. And we remember the first time Fudge showed up was like, you know, he just won the vote, maybe. I don't know how... I don't think that's how it works in the UK. I think they're born. I don't know.
I think they all have to wish it really hard, and then yeah. They have a secret prime minister maker who looks into a cup of tea, and all of the wishes coalesce in that teacup, and then he decides.
I think the lords and ladies of the realm all get together and
burn something in a fire. No, that's the Pope.
Something like that. Anyway, he had just been elected by the lords and ladies and their small folk, and he was like, ha ha, yay, I win. And then this little painting started talking to him, and he's like, I'm losing my fucking mind. But he wasn't. It was Cornelius Fudge showing up, and he's like, don't worry, dude, I'm a wizard. There's a Ministry of Magic. We have broom regulations, all that stuff. But don't worry, you'll never see me again unless something real bad happens. And the guy's like, you're a hoax. And he's like, oh yeah, your teacup's a gerbil. That brings up all sorts of questions. Like, does that gerbil have a soul? I don't know.
Do any gerbils have souls?
I assume.
Okay.
But not the magic one, probably.
I assume. Probably not, right? Like, it's probably just like evil. A little zombie.
Okay. What if it never dies? What if it shatters when his niece drops it?
We have to have a whole segment about this.
What if she just fills it with tea and drinks out of its mouth?
Sup from the gerbil's teeth.
So he's like, but how come no one's talked about this before? How come the other prime minister didn't tell me? And Fudge is like, dear sir, are you going to tell anyone? And he's like, you got me. And so Fudge leaves. He tries to have the portrait taken down. He gets all these workers to come in and all sorts of different people, art restorators. No one can get it off the wall. So it's like, all right, I guess I just got to leave this here. And then 3 years ago, friggin' Fudge shows up again. And he's like, there's this awful killer named Sirius Black. And he broke out of Azkaban, which is a jail, and he's killed Muggles before, so watch out. But Voldemort's probably not back, whatever.
Don't worry.
And then less than a year after that, he comes back and he's like, oh, hey, the Quidditch World Cup. Oh, there was an incident with Muggles.
Snafu.
And sorry about that. Don't worry, we're modifying their memories. No bigs. Also, we're importing some foreign dragons and a sphinx. Okay, bye. And he's like, And that was my prime minister impression. He's like, dragon, dragons.
A sphinx,
These are all things that happened in previous books, which is pretty wild.
Pretty wild.
And then he came back again, and he's like, oh, yeah, there was a mass breakout of Azkaban this time. Whoops. And now he's back. And this time he's like, yo, that guy I said is probably not back.
He's back.
And the guy's like, he's alive again? He came back to life? And he's like, I don't define life. I don't.
What is existence? Does that gerbil have a soul? Yeah. Do any of us have souls?
And then the prime minister is like, oh, no, did Sirius Black join him? And he's like, no. Sirius Black is actually a good guy and is dead. So we're at war. Everything's bad. Also, I got fired. That was bad.
So rough.
Then he goes through the list. Actually, that was a little bit later. But he goes through the list, and all of the bad things that the Prime Minister is upset about are all wizard-related. There was the hurricane was probably actually a giant. Amelia Bones was killed in a room that was locked in the inside, and Emmeline Vance was killed right in the Prime Minister's backyard, and, you know, Voldemort did the bridge and all that stuff. So bad news all around. Fudge has been sacked, and he's really just here to introduce his replacement, Rufus Scrimjaw.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Scrimjaw. Yep. That's how they pronounce it in the book, the audiobook.
I've never listened to the audiobook, and I always thought it was like...
How's it spelled?
It's like
S-C-R-I-M-G-E-O-U-R.
Yeah, and I always thought it was Scrim... It's like Scrimgoire or Scrimgrayer or something like that.
I think that's how they pronounce it in the movie also, though.
I can't read, so I did the audiobook, and they say Rufus Scrimjaw.
Okay, that's crazy. It's like a G. It's not remotely like a jaw, but that's fine. British people are weird.
Is that like a goaler in Game of Thrones? A goaler? That's a jailer.
Oh yes.
Anyway.
Like a Jolem? Like a Gollum?
Yeah.
Jolem.
So Rufus Scrimjorg. Looks like an old lion, and
it's just
that's
like that
fun.
That yeah song, Old Lion.
Yeah,
it's called Gold Lion. Don't worry about it. It's a bad joke.
All right, good.
And he's like, "We must discuss your security." And he's like, you can. I have my own security, jerk." And he's like, "Your new dude, Kingsley Shacklebolt." And he's like, "You can't get rid of him. He's so good." And he's like, "He's actually an Auror." And then he's like, "You son of a bitch, how dare you put an Auror in my office?"
In those very words.
"You son of a bitch."
And he's like, "All right, as long as he keeps getting his work done, you can stay."
Isn't that a bureaucrat through and through?
Mm-hmm. And his junior Duke Minister guy had a bad Imperius curse put on him. That's why he's quacking like a duck and trying to strangle healers. And so he's going to St. Mungo's. And that's it. That's our chapter, folks.
It's a whirlwind, man.
First chapter in the books, baby. Yeah. Yeah, things are bad. This is a fun different way to open a book. It has not opened like this before.
For sure.
So that's neat. It's always Harry getting like noogied by
Dudley
by Dudley.
Yeah, and it's nice to think about, cuz we keep wondering about the wizard relationship to the Muggle world. And you see like glimpses of it with Arthur Weasley and his department of the misuse of magical artifacts or whatever it is. But you don't really see the government, the actual larger picture of it. So it's kind of funny to see how it fits in. And also I like how they say, "Oh, you don't need to worry about us. We'll figure everything out." And I'm like, "You're the ones who are hiding away."
Yeah.
They're also the ones that are causing all the trouble. They're hiding away and causing all the trouble,
pay taxes, but they're still breaking the bridges that need to be fixed. The taxpayers pay for.
And it's not Theresa May's fault that Brexit happened. It was the wizarding community.
They're very, very insular. In the movie, isn't it? It's not actually Broad, whatever. It's not Brockdale Bridge. It's actually the Millennium Bridge, right? Yeah.
It's the Millennium Bridge, yeah. It's the Millennium Bridge. Yep. But guess what? It was still there when I went there, so.
Oh, that was fake. So, new things. Fudge is no longer the Minister of Magic, and we've got Rufus Scrimjaw now as his replacement. This fun relationship between the Prime Minister and the Minister of Magic.
Fun.
So that's the new stuff.
The other minister.
I think it's really funny that they have this relationship where whenever there's a new minister of, like, regular life, they go in there and be like, "I'm the other minister. You can try to tell other people, but no one's gonna believe you. Goodbye."
I feel like that's what's called gaslighting.
So this is my question.
It's not very nice.
Yeah. This is my question. Would you tell other people about this if you were the Prime Minister?
I would.
Because I would
my best friend and potentially my significant other. Right.
I would tell some people.
I'd be
people.
Like, I know that.
Yeah. But would they believe you?
I don't think it matters, but I would tell
them.
I think they would, because it's the same thing as like being president of the United States and being like, "Listen, I want to tell you that there are aliens.
Yeah, that's true.
Exactly, exactly.
And they did kill JFK.
Yeah, and they are
and DB Cooper is still alive. What other conspiracy? Do we have any more? We have a bunch.
And Elvis.
Yeah, no, I would. I feel like I totally
vampires,
would tell someone.
I don't know.
Many someones.
I would definitely tell like the people, the inner circle that would trust me.
Mm-hmm. Or in the very least, I would go and talk to the previous prime minister and be like, "Yo, what's up?
What the fuck? Obama, what are you doing?
Because theoretically, because they go through prime ministers faster than we go through presidents for the most part, just because they have like snap elections. They have, you know, theoretically they have more prime ministers. And we still have a bunch of presidents alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, I would definitely tell the person after me, like, yo, guess what? There's going to be a wizard coming in here. Watch out.
They're
going to
be like, fuck you, dude. And they're going to be like, oh, he was right. Or she was right. And then they can come to you and be like, yes, you were right.
Right. Doesn't in the U.S., every president who's leaving office writes a note to the president who's coming into office. It's like a thing. Maybe they could do that, and then they would have written proof from multiple prime ministers. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Man. Unless
they obliterated them.
Wait, yeah, they obliterate them after they get it, which is probably what they should do.
Right, well, that's what I was wondering, because at first, you know, like when you read it, you're like, oh, they obliterate them. But then he said, would you tell anyone? And I thought, oh, that's not quite the same. They probably obliterate them.
Them telling them that might make them hesitate, because what if people think that, or like the people around you think that you're cracking under stress and that you're just like going crazy.
Yeah, but once you resign or once you're done serving your term and you're just like a crazy old rich British person, what do you have to lose? Absolutely nothing.
But then you're a crazy
Which
old
is
British
half
person
the population.
That has nothing to lose. Yeah. But that's what they do.
Yeah.
But anyway. I would tell my best friends and probably my significant other, my Josh, and probably my dogs. My dogs just would be like, yeah, we know that.
I would also tell your dogs.
Mike will be like, hey, Vijay, can I please speak to Avon and Kobe?
Vijay, put Kobe on.
Kobe would just sleep and he'd be like, yeah, I already know this. Everybody knows
dogs
this.
Know. Well, thanks for the chapter, dogs Michael. Know. That was a good one.
Michael.
That was a great...
Anytime.
I was going to say the same thing. What a great start. Very auspicious.
Yeah.
Let's go to the segment, shall we?
Okay.
Let's.
So... what were your first impressions of book six?
Are we talking
six?
About like our first chapter or going into it remembering what we remember?
What you remember from when you first read it or going into it the first time. And then maybe this time.
Silence is what we remember.
I remember... Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, no, I was just saying, it's in a kind of a funny place because it's like not the big finale. It's the penultimate
is it,
book.
Michael?
And and it's also not book five, which I have very strong feelings about and that I don't like it. So it's not book five and it's not the last book. So it's
a lot of people really like this book.
I remember really liking this book, but I'm with Michael like in that not for any reason other than just I also feel like the sixth and seventh books, as much as I love them, I've read them fewer times than the other books. And part of that is because they came out last and I kept rereading the ones leading up to it. And also when they came out, I was at a point in my life where I was, you know, I was older. I was like in high school, but wow. I needed like, you know what I mean? But you don't have as much.
Michael, let's kick her off the spot.
I was changing
diapers. But you know what I mean? Like I don't know. I had less time to just reread them, but. So I feel like I loved it, but I don't remember having any strong feelings about it other than I really liked it.
Yeah, I'm curious going forward, like, how I'll feel about it. I do think I like this book, though. Go ahead, Vijaya. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I remember just being very anxious about how the story was going to move forward because just because of what happened last book with Sirius' death and like everything. Yeah, I just remember just being anxious.
It came out in 2005, the summer before my senior year of high school.
I was a junior. That was between my junior and senior, or no, sophomore and junior year of college.
Not that far off from me.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay.
Maturity wise, sure. Very far off. But
now, did either of you all just read it immediately, I'm assuming, and did not get the big spoiler?
I read it. Yes. I went to the midnight release. Spoiler.
I read it immediately. Yeah,
I read it. Too. I remember reading it distinctly because I read it on my way up to and while I was at my family's cabin in the woods. So I literally, it was like, I didn't have a cell phone and there was no, like, internet wasn't as big of a thing, I feel like. So I didn't have spoilers because I didn't have access to spoilers at that point. I literally took it with me to the woods.
I remember because I was driving at that point because I was in college. And I went to home to my parents' house and I went to the midnight release at the Myers by my parents' house and bought it, ran home, and just read it.
Were you spoiled, Michael?
No, and I believe this is the first.
Were there spoilers?
Book.
Yes, there was an infamous spoiler, in fact, where somebody was driving past people waiting in line at a Barnes & Noble and yelled the biggest spoiler of the book out the window.
No,
because people would do that.
People are such assholes.
People are terrible.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I believe this is. I think like. When book five came out, I started reading the books. And so I think this is the first one that I actually got right when it came out and then just immediately read it. And I just, you know, I think I read it in like a day or two. And
yeah.
But I do feel for folks who, because I feel like this would be a real bad one to get spoiled.
I think I was just anxious about this book, like, just like I said. But I knew there was a lot of conflict coming and there was like, oh, a reckoning coming. So that's what I had going into this book and the next book.
Yeah, I very much was hoping that they were going to somehow find out that Sirius wasn't dead.
I remember distinctly thinking they're going to find... Until the very last chapter of the last book, I sincerely kept hoping that Sirius would be very much alive.
I don't think I ever had that feeling.
Because
you hate Sirius?
Really, don't hate you really Sirius. Just didn't. You just weren't.
Just really love Voldemort. Just leave me
she
alone.
Doesn't like
she doesn't like dogs.
She doesn't like dogs. He's a dog.
I don't like dogs. So. I hate Sirius and I love Voldemort. And
She wishes she could turn into a dog and that's why she's so mad at Sirius.
She hates him. It's actually just jealousy.
Yeah.
One of the weirdest things that I connect with this book, and remember, I feel like I've talked about this before in terms of just general reading, especially Harry Potter books, is that oftentimes when I read a book, I'll listen to music when I'm reading. And so I'll like, especially if there's a song that makes me feel like it fits the book or feels a specific way, I'll put it on repeat and I'll just listen to that song a lot when I'm reading a book. So whenever I hear that song, I think of the book or vice versa. And for this one, and this is like such a thing because obviously Garden State had come out at one point. And so like Frou Frou was like a big, I listened to her whole album all the time, but she has a song called The Dumbing Down of Love and it's so sad. And I just remember like crying and reading this book and listening to that song on repeat. Like my parents were like, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. Everything is horrible.
I've been listening to the audiobook while we've been driving because Josh and I have been driving back and forth with Lexington and Dayton a lot. I've been listening to the audiobook to prepare for the Quidditch Cup.
Oh boy, someone's studying.
But no spoilers for your chapter, Sarah, but whatever happens in there, he was like, who the fuck is this? Who is this? This didn't happen to me in the movies. And I was like, you only watch the movies, so stop asking me what happened in this book.
I think it did happen in the movie, though, from my chapter.
Not as detailed as in the books. Yeah. He just kept asking me questions.
Is it just like a montage?
Yes. It's not a montage, but it was just like,
I haven't seen the movie in a long time. Wasn't as detailed. I guess I'll watch it when we watch it.
It was. Yeah. All right. Well, if you all have any feelings about this, the first impressions of this book for you, let us know.
Did you get spoiled?
Yeah, if you saw that spoiler video, I'm so sorry. Tell us and how it affected your entire life.
That fucking sucks.
Yeah, it really sucks.
Fuck that person. Who even does that? Anyway.
Somebody who didn't get enough love as a child and needs attention. I'm excited to read this book because I remember really genuinely like it, but not having the feelings that I had for, like, book four. You know what I mean?
Well, wait for the rest of the book.
Oh, I mean, I know sad stuff happens. I know what happens in the book. For some reason, one of the things that sticks out the most in my mind is the spell Sectum Sempra. Why? I don't know.
Man.
All right. Cool. Alrighty. Thanks, friends.
We'll see you next
week.
Joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry.
Our editor is Mitch Cahill.
Our artwork was done by Jesse Carlton, and our music was done by Sean Fagan. I know you want to help us out, so why don't you head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review? And also, send us an email so we can talk to you. You can do that by emailing us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com. Hey, I know you all want to keep talking to us, so find us on Twitter @PotterPod.
I'm Michael, and you can find me at 13Nerd.
I'm Sarah, and you can find me at Her Lady Tompkins.
And I'm Vijaya, and you can find me at I Think Ninja.
Harry, you're a ding-dang wizard.
I think we should use that.
Can you believe?
Golly, Harry's a goddamn wizard.
Blimey, you're a wizard, Harry. You're a wizard, Harry.
Oh, God. I don't like
the scariest one.
Chapter one, The Other Minister.
I liked it. When I read the chapter title, though, I read it like The Other Minister, and it was a lot sexier and more scandalous. We did it. We killed it, y'all. You're a wizard, Hattie. Hattie, you're a wizard. We should do a 3-part harmony.
Can't believe I already have a huge lead at Quizzitch.